brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Good morning, everyone. It's Elizabeth Gordon, and I've got a terrific show lined up for you today. We are talking about the growing technology and entrepreneurial hub we all know and love called Atlanta, Georgia. And I've got three wonderful guests in the studio with me who know all about what's going on in the technology sector here in Atlanta. Melanie Brandt, who is the Chief Operating Officer with the Technology Association of Georgia. Melanie, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
And we've got Larry Williams, Vice President of Technology, Industry, and Development for the Atlanta Metro Chamber of Commerce. Larry, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. And Michael Lasky's here with Burr & Foreman. Michael is an intellectual property and technology attorney specializing in non-compete and trade secrets as well as IP. Michael, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
We're glad to have you. So let's start with you, Melanie. Technology Association of Georgia is the largest industry association in the state and one of the most successful. Talk a little bit more about TAG and your role there and what's going on in terms of Georgia's technology industry.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, as you said, TAG is a big, vibrant, growing organization. The mission is to educate, unite, influence, and basically be a positive influence on the technology community. So we do that via events. We have about 200 events a year. We have legislative initiatives. We have entrepreneurial support initiatives, STEM education initiatives. So there's a lot of different ways that we try to do that.
And there's companies at the very large company level, as well as a lot of engaging activities at the startup level. How much of an economic impact does technology have on the Georgia economy?
Well, we do an annual State of the Industry report where we take data, secondary data from the census and the Labor Bureau, and look at how the technology industry in Georgia is doing as a whole. And we release that every year. And we also do a primary research study where we interview, survey folks as well. This year, we took it one step further to try to answer the so what question. And so we actually contracted with Georgia Tech and determined what our economic impact is. And the economic impact of the technology industry in Georgia is $113.1 billion. We knew it would be high. We were not expecting it to be quite that high. And the reason for that is because of all of the different people that are employed in the technology industry in Georgia, and then also the fact that their salaries are so high. So there are direct benefits, indirect benefits, induced benefits. They buy shoes, they buy gas, folks employed in the technology industry. And so the impact of the technology industry here in Georgia really has far-reaching implications for the state.
Because it's not just jobs, it's really good jobs.
Exactly.
And really high-growth companies. So since the economy seems to be kind of slowly rebounding, let's talk about the job outlook in the technology industry. What does that look like?
Well, Georgia adds 6,000 technology jobs a year. And to put that into perspective, Caterpillar, which relocated to Georgia, did an expansion here, and everyone was so excited, and rightfully so. It was a huge win for the state of Georgia. They came with 2,800 jobs, an anticipated 2,800 jobs. Well, the technology industry in Georgia is adding double that, more than double that, every single year, and they're higher paying jobs as well. And so we don't always make the news with our growth, but it is certainly impactful. There is also not a shortage of technology jobs. So while the unemployment rate was, I think, at its worst was at about 10% here in Metro Atlanta, the technology industry was not experiencing that. And right now, our numbers show that there are about 4,000 open technology jobs here in the state of Georgia.
Wow. Now, entrepreneurial activity is expected to be a big contributor to the regrowth of the economy. How does Georgia stack up nationwide on our tech sector?
Well, entrepreneurial activity is very important. So Larry's the master at this, so he'll talk about it, I'm sure.
Yeah, feel free to chime in here, Larry, too.
We get jobs by recruiting, retaining, and expanding and growing. And the entrepreneurial community, the growth that those companies experience, those jobs tend to be very sticky. There's a net positive in them, in that where other states don't have to lose in order for us to win. And they're very important jobs for us. They tend to have, again, the far-reaching implications. Then we do very well in entrepreneurial activity. Depending on your, you know, different sources, we're either number one. Kauffman Foundation found that we were number one. Women entrepreneurs do really well in Georgia. We've got very impressive numbers in terms of successful women entrepreneurs. So we're doing well in entrepreneurship. We could always do more. We always look for ways to support our entrepreneurs. But the numbers are very positive.
Now, Larry, what does the Metro Atlanta Chamber have to do with a lot of this industry growth in the technology sector? Tell us a little bit more about the MAC's role in all this growth.
Well, great. Well, thanks for that. And so building on a lot of what Melanie has already said and laid the foundation, we're really about growing jobs in the Metro Atlanta area. And so when you think about that $113 billion economic impact, a lot of that in technology jobs is in the 26-county metro region. So we really are the technology engine that's driving a lot of this, and we're very proud of that, and then partnering with the other areas around the state to continue to drive it. So, you know, we're really about bringing in new jobs, recruiting new companies to be a part of this space. We're also helping our current customers, our current companies here expand, but then also looking at that next generation of ingenuity and entrepreneurism, and how do we grow it up here? We've got a great tradition of growing and being innovative here. So ISS is a great one, Scientific American, and they've grown up and, become part of larger organizations. But we've got some great stories that are happening here right now. I think AirWatch is one of the biggest stories that we have going on in technology. It's grown up here. It was just ranked as Gartner as the number one device management company in the world. It's high growth. It's high jobs. And they're really on track to be one of the great stories for the Atlanta technology sector. But also the great companies that are coming out of ATDC over at the incubator over at Georgia Tech and other places are also, you know, fascinating stories that really help us be a technology center. I'll just add, Atlanta, it doesn't roll off the tongue as a technology hub, but it really is. All the assets are here. And it doesn't roll off the tongue like Austin or Boston or Silicon Valley, but all the assets are here. And I think a lot of people are surprised at the depth that we have, as well as the breadth in a lot of industry sectors.
There are more and more of these success stories coming out of the nurturing environment that's been created in the Atlanta technology community. And Melanie, I know TAG offers a number of resources to support the entrepreneurial community here in Atlanta. Can you tell us a little bit more about some of those resources for entrepreneurs?
Sure. I think one of the most impactful things that we have done is partner with the Metro Atlanta Chamber and the Atlanta CEO Council to form Venture Atlanta. Venture Atlanta is a world-class annual VC conference that brings in venture capitalists from all over the state. And we basically, it gives Atlanta to showcase some of our best companies and get them funded. We do need to continue to improve our venture capital situation. And so Venture Atlanta, I would say, is one of the things that we're the most proud of in terms of initiatives from TAG. We also are in our seventh year of doing a business launch competition. Initially, it started with the Georgia Research Alliance funding it, and we've given away over $500,000 in cash and over $1 million in donated services to deserving startup companies. And all of them have gone on, without exception, all of them have gone on to grow jobs, to get additional outside funding, and they're all successful companies in their own right. Throughout the way, not just the winners have benefited, but the finalists have gotten services and the exposure that the companies get, even if they don't make it to the finals or or when ultimately they get assigned mentors. And so that's been a tremendously beneficial thing for the Atlanta startup community. And then we also do a couple training programs as well. So right now we're in the middle of Cat Venture, which is a 6-week training course we do for entrepreneurs, where we teach them how to get ready to raise venture capital. And this year we're pleased that we've expanded the program. We are streaming it. It lives in Atlanta, but it's streamed to the Augusta and Savannah regions as well for the first time this year. And that's been a tremendously beneficial program as well.
That's great. Got the whole state involved. Larry, I want to find out from you more information about the 2012 Venture Atlanta Conference coming up here in October. And also from Michael, there have been some changes that have taken place in terms of patent laws recently that have kind of changed, I guess, have an impact on technology here in Atlanta. I want to get your expert opinion here on intellectual property and the changes in the patent laws.
Sure. Yes, indeed. Congress passed a new patent law last fall, which takes effect this fall and then in the spring. And it's the first major change in patent law in about 40 years. And it's quite revolutionary. It's not necessarily quite on the mark, but everything helps. The primary change is it is now a race to the patent office. Whoever gets there first wins. Previously, it's whoever invented first wins. Now, this does not help the small guy, the entrepreneur. It's hard for them to do that. Big companies have a huge advantage. But we need to get the word out that if you've got an idea, it has to be filed before somebody else either makes it public or files ahead of you, because it's merely going to be whose date stamp is first.
So with intellectual property being a big way that companies are able to attract outside capital, I think it's relevant to have a keen understanding of how the implications of this.
It's really central. If you have a business, you have to think about transferable value. What would a party invest in or another company buy? And it's only what they can take away. And in the field of technology, the only game in town is patents, trademarks to a point, but for the most part, patents. And if you're not covered, when you go to the plate, you go up to venture capital or a company that might buy you, they say, well, you've got a great idea, you've got great people, but why should I pay for your company if the next guy can have it for free? That's really what it comes down to. So either you go in protected, or you're in the you're giving away what you've got.
Well, nobody wants to do that, because we know how hard entrepreneurs work to get their concept off the ground. So making sure that they're able to maximize the value of that is so important, not just for the individual, but for our society as we continue to grow the economy. So, Larry, talk to us about Venture Atlanta, because it sounds like it plays a critical role in getting entrepreneurs access to necessary capital to grow their companies.
That's exactly right. It's a forum that's been in place since 2002 to connect entrepreneurs with angel, venture capital, and even traditional private equity. And so that is the forum where they can come in. They have a chance to learn from other entrepreneurs. They have a chance to pitch their products and their services. And then they have opportunities to act to meet directly with potential funders, whether it be angel, venture, or private equity. Since 2002, there's been about $930 million worth of funding that has come through Venture Atlanta through the connections that have been made. And we're really hoping to hit that $1 billion mark this year. So we're very excited about that milestone in the Venture Atlanta story. It's coming up. It's October 17th and 18th. You can go to ventureatlanta.org and get all of the information and register. We're expecting a great record turnout, and we're just really excited about this forum. We've been out telling that story, so we are getting venture capitalists that come in from California, from the Valley, from Boston, from New York, from the region, as well as our own venture capitalists that are here in the Atlanta area that are there. And so it's continued to grow. It's gotten notoriety, so it really is the place in the Southeast for venture capital.
It's an exciting event. And Melanie, I'm sure you've seen lots of companies that have had amazing experiences at Venture Atlanta over the years. Give us a sense of what it's like.
I mean, Larry said it extremely well. It's the energy at the event is amazing. And the process that goes into getting these companies, figuring out which companies are going to present, which companies are going to be, you know, the best representation of the Metro Atlanta area, getting them prepared to present. By the time they're up there on that stage, they really put their best foot forward, and the results are there to show it. They're getting funded after they participate as a result, a direct result of Venture Atlanta and the exposure that they get there and the connections that they make. So it's been a tremendous asset for the city. And again, it's such a success story, I think, because in a lot of ways, it was something that, you know, the three organizations partnered on. We realized any one of us could have maybe tried to do it on our own, but we realized that we would be stronger doing it together. And there's so many examples of that where we partner, and because of the partnerships, we do so much better than we could do on our own. Venture Atlanta is probably the most obvious one.
Bringing all of those resources together and all of these powerful groups together and leveraging the power of all of that, I think, has been part of what's been able to catapult Atlanta into the conversation with the Silicon Valleys and the Bostons and the Austins, right?
Sure.
Now, Michael, coming back to you, since we're talking about money, and I want to get a sense from you of, you know, when you're advising clients about how do they maximize the value of the company they've created, tell us, how does a company, you know, get value out of the startup that they've created? Like, for instance, how did Instagram get $1 billion?
You know, when I tell people about Instagram, they always say, oh, we're not like that. We couldn't possibly repeat that. Well, let's put it in perspective. They had 5 employees, been around 18 months, and they made no money. And they were sold for $1 billion. And everybody says, well, that was too much. But the valuation before they were sold was $500 million. Yeah, they overpaid. But $500 million wasn't too bad either for the 5 people. And there are many cases also in Atlanta of companies that have sold for phenomenal amounts. And it's all about this transferable value concept, whether it is technology embodied in patents or it is in the brand, as in the case of Instagram. Motorola was sold for some phenomenal amount of money. Skype has been sold 3 times now, every time more money, yet it's technologically well-known. It's the reputation of the company.
So the reputation of the company, the founders themselves, some of these intangibles also come into play as well as the tangible value.
Well, be careful about that. If a company is a me company, that is, the person is charismatic and knowledgeable and all that sort of stuff, they're not a transferable asset. So it's really important that a company go from being a me company to a brand-based company, which is a transferable asset.
Okay.
Often forgotten, particularly with engineering companies. I'm an engineer. We don't think about brands as being important. We think our technology matters. Yeah, it matters. But if the guy can't buy it from you or the reputation doesn't transfer, it's not saleable.
So how does this work in Asia? Or say, you know, hear a lot about in China, it's very difficult to copyright things. Or, you know, you've seen like imitation brands in China. There's like a fake Starbucks that they've got on every street corner, something like that. Give me a sense of the international climate around some of these laws.
Well, the most amazing fake story was the fake Apple store.
Right.
Which was identical to the Apple store in notoriously operating, yet it existed. Yeah, China is an amazing case where – and frankly, it's true of all third world companies, countries. They start out as we'd rather steal from you, but ultimately they convert into countries like ours where intellectual property matters. And they're going through this metamorphosis right now. The thing that our people in the United States need to know is even though their system is not very good and not very enforceable, if you don't pay to play, you can't play. In other words, if you don't have a patent, you have nothing. You have no chance of enforcement if you don't have a copyright, if you don't have a trademark, if you don't register your domain name. They will register it for you and try and sell it back to you. I guarantee it. Your choice is to play the rules and live with the fact that the rules are not very strong, or have nothing at all. So that's the first step, is play by the rules.
Well, that's why it's so important to have an advisor who knows those rules and can give you some context around it, because you've probably been, you know, working 80 hours a week inventing your startup technology business and don't necessarily have the time to find all of this out.
Well, it's just really important to focus on those two words, transferable value. Look at your company from a buyer's point of view. If they can't acquire title to the things you value, then they're not valuable.
Hmm.
I think it's an important message, especially to the startup community, as there could be some very attractive-looking opportunities on the surface in a lot of other countries. But there are a lot of countries, and China is an example, that anything that can be copied will be copied, and anything that can be reverse-engineered will be reverse-engineered. Talked to some friends of mine at Microsoft a few years ago, and they said the good news is that the climate for intellectual property protection is improving. It's probably now only about 98% piracy. So, but I think the evolution is going to be, as they develop their own intellectual property, the own brands, they'll be more respectful of those types of things. And probably one of the best examples of that is Lenovo. Lenovo has, you know, purchased IBM ThinkPad. They're in the United States. And so as they start marketing under their own brands and move from being the world's original equipment manufacturer, then you'll see a higher level of respect towards those laws on a global basis.
Well, I want to ask you, Larry, also about the mobility initiative, because this is something that the Metro Atlanta Chamber just recently launched with the goal of making Atlanta the recognized global center for mobility. So since we're talking about one person being all over the world, tell me about the mobility initiative.
Well, that's great. You know, mobile technology is really a core strength of Atlanta. Either through the content that we're delivering, such as through CNN and the Weather Channel. You know, the Weather Channel is about the second most downloaded app in the country, second to Facebook. It's absolutely incredible, the content that we're delivering with the Turner Brands and others. Everything has to be delivered over a mobile platform. Right now, we recognize, so if you're delivering any kind of content, it's got to be over a mobile platform. And then if you think about it, if you want to monetize it, it has to have payment processing. And about 70% of all payments processed in the U.S. come through Atlanta. Then you also have to have internet network security, also a core competency of ours. And then it has applications in logistics, supply chain management, health IT, again, all core competencies. And so we're sitting right at the hub of it. So if you look at this, and this is an industry that is moving from today about a $1.5 trillion industry to grow to about $1.9 trillion by 2015, and we're sitting at the hub of it. We're one of the top three centers for mobile technologies in the country and top 10 in the world. So it's absolutely fascinating for us to be able to position Atlanta and really leverage the strengths that we have to continue to build out the software, the applications, the services that are related to this.
Yes, that's exciting. Mobility is definitely kind of the wave of the future. Everything is going to the mobile way. So it's definitely, and based on the infrastructure of the businesses we have here in Atlanta, we're in a good position to capitalize, make that a strength.
We do. Well, we have the carriers that are here, so we have the distribution as well, AT&T leading the way, but we have a lot of other people in the space as well. And when we talk about the entrepreneurial activity, it's absolutely fascinating to see the things. Things like Proximus Mobility that are building applications for marketing opportunities as you get near a retail store, the things that could pop up on your screen and provide enticement for you to walk in. I think Merlin Mobility is also a startup company that's doing great things with augmented reality. There you can actually take a QR code, put it on the wall, hold up your iPad, and have a product such as a washing machine in different colors flash up on the screen where you can actually look at it in red or gray or white and decide what color you want. That'll lead you to click on it, have a coupon show up, go down to Home Depot, buy it with a discount, and then it actually moves completely into the next phase of being your owner's manual and even tutorials on how to best use it. And it's absolutely fascinating what can be done with this technology.
Right. That is amazing. Michael, how are intellectual property laws keeping up with the pace of innovation today?
Oh, we're about 20, 30 years behind. The problem we have right now, and it's not unique to intellectual property,
right,
is the cost of litigation. We have really got to get a handle on this to provide a compact way to resolve disputes for smaller companies. You know, the under $10 million disputes end up in the same courts as the $100 billion disputes, and it just doesn't work. Until that's resolved, it's a bottleneck.
Right, and that's not going to help create more jobs in Georgia, which is really what we all want to see happen.
Well, we got some relief from Congress in that some of the disputes over patents can be handled in the patent office, which was not the case before. It's not a complete solution. It's one step, but it's going to take a number of baby steps to get there. But we're definitely going in the right way.
Okay, good to hear. Now, Melanie, talking about the future, the workforce is such a big issue, and especially in, as a growing technology hub, we need to, part of the reason that we've been strong in technology is because of the educated workforce here, with Georgia Tech and all the access to fantastic institutions right here in Atlanta. STEM education has been an ongoing, topic of conversation for the state. And I know you're very involved in STEM education initiatives over at TAG. Tell me a little bit more about what you guys are working on.
Sure. Well, talent is such an important part of what we do. And Georgia has a tremendous base of talent. You look at the NCR decision to come to the state of Georgia a few years ago, and it's not just that we have an abundance of talent. We have really diverse talent. So they put their headquarters in Gwinnett. They put a call center in Peachtree City, and they put a manufacturing plant in Columbus. We have all kinds of different talent here in the state of Georgia. And companies, over and over again tell us that that's their number one decision-making factor. Incentives are important. Lots of things are important. But if there's not the talent here to support what they want to do, they can't possibly relocate here. We've got a great talent story, but we can't afford to rest on our laurels. Our research shows that there's going to be 211,000 STEM-related jobs that need to be filled in the state of Georgia by 2018. Over 80% of the jobs coming up in the next decade are going to require math and science. And so we need to do everything we can to make sure that we're feeding that need. TAG does this in a variety of different ways. And in a lot of ways, we partner with great organizations to make sure that we're doing the right things because we're stronger together again. But some of the things that TAG does, we have a foundation. So we're a membership organization, but we have a foundation organization that's dedicated primarily to STEM, promoting STEM education. So they do that by providing internships and placing rising seniors with technology companies, different web competitions, getting kids excited about STEM careers. A new initiative that we have this year is the STEM Education Awards. And what we're doing, we talk about STEM education from a crisis perspective because there's so many more openings that are coming than there are people enrolled in STEM degrees. And so it is something that we all need to be taking very seriously. But we knew as an organization, just anecdotally, that throughout the state of Georgia, there were so many things that were going on, people that had taken it upon themselves to promote STEM education. And we thought if we could shed some light on these initiatives, a few different things would happen. Number one, we'd learn about things that we didn't already know about that were going on. And number two, we would, by putting these great things up on stage and highlighting them, maybe other companies, other schools, other programs would follow suit. So on September 14th in Savannah, for the first time, we have an awards event that's going to be promoting STEM education. We received over 65 nominations, divided them up into six different categories, and we're going to be talking about these great programs and the impact that they're having on the state of Georgia in terms of STEM education. So we're really excited about that.
That's awesome. Now, Michael, tell us what results really matter to people that are wanting to be involved in this Atlanta that we're seeing in the future, the growing technology and entrepreneurial hub that our city is becoming.
Well, that's a pretty open-ended question, and I don't think we have a lot of time to answer. There's so much going on. I mean, just sitting around this table, I've learned more than I knew when I came in. So if you listen to what you heard and take advantage of a couple of these things, you can't lose.
All right. That's well spoken. And I'm bringing it back around now to Larry Williams, Vice President of Technology and Industry Development for the Metro Atlanta Chamber. Larry, what are your closing comments on the results that matter for Atlanta's growing technology hub?
You know, the technology sector in Atlanta really is going to help drive Atlanta out of the recession. We've talked about it at the beginning of the show, and it's just an exciting time to be in the technology industry here. Around the mobility initiatives, whether it be health IT, internet security, there are great opportunities here. The great challenges around STEM education are also, these are global challenges, and it's something that also gives us the opportunity to lead. So we need to step up, and we need to continue to build the infrastructure, build that foundation, and then also make sure that people know what a great technology center Atlanta is.
And if people want to find out more about the Metro Chamber, the Mobility Initiative, and Venture Atlanta, what are some websites that they can go to find more information?
Well, Larry mentioned Where Georgia Leads, and actually if you go to wheregeorgialeads.com, we've created some industry logo maps that I think there's seven of them right now, health IT, financial technology, information security. You can actually pull those up, and it will show you a logo map of all of the different industries, where we lead, and what the companies are in those individual sectors. And so I think that that's a tremendous resource. We get great feedback on that. You know, certainly the Venture Atlanta website, Tag Online. You could spend your whole day on Tag Online.
You
reading
sure
all the
could,
different...
and you could go to an event like every day.
Yes,
of
there's
the week.
Been four since we've started this morning.
I love it.
But it's all good. But and then obviously the Metro Atlanta Chamber's got a tremendous amount of resources on their site as well.
Yes, MetroAtlantaChamber.com is a great resource. We'll actually be rolling out a new version of the website in the next several weeks, so we're excited about that. And then again, VentureAtlanta.org is another great resource for the upcoming event, October 17th and 18th.
Excellent. We're all very excited about that. I want to thank my guests once again, Michael Lasky from Burt & Foreman, Larry Williams, Metro Atlanta Chamber, and Melanie Brandt, Chief Operating Officer at the Technology Association of Georgia. Thanks for coming in, guys. It was
thank
a great
you for
show.
Having us.
Thank you for having us.
This is Elizabeth Gordon, and we are signing off from Business Radio X for today. I will talk to you soon.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.